they made all the turtles like different sizes.
You know?
And they said that Raph was the oldest.
I thought Raph was always the oldest.
I don't know. I always thought it was.
Kind of.
Matter of fact, yeah, you may be right.
Hi, I'm Jalal from the Victory Bus Project. You're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Green and Columbia.
This keeps me going. On those days when I feel like giving up, fire.
I believe the rain will go away. I believe that I can make it through it. Oh, I believe it's already done.
I want you to already see yourself out of the storm. The clouds will move. It's time for you to smile again. Come on, Sean.
I believe my family will get better. I believe God will provide. I believe the promise that He made.
Is yours. God's already pre-approved you for it. Come on, Zaccardi.
I believe that my God is a healer. Yes, He is. And I believe that I will survive. Oh, I believe that
tells us that if any two of us shall agree on anything on earth, that God will do it for us in heaven. And I know sometimes life has a way of knocking you down to the point where you can't even pray for yourself. But today I want to agree with you that it's getting ready to get better. And right now we are giving your problems an expiration date. And we're saying it's over. That you've been crying long enough. That you've been worried long enough. That you've been struggling long enough. And I believe that God's gonna do it for you.
I believe.
gonna get better.
To the single parents,
go in the room and grab your children, put your arms around them and let them know it's gonna get better.
Oh, if you trust in him, yes, hang on in there. God told me to tell you it's gonna get better.
God's gonna do it.
You can't handle it.
You can't.
You gotta give it to Jesus.
Give it to
Jesus. Oh, won't he work it out?
Yes, he will.
If you believe it, say that.
Remember this.
Your storm is over. I believe your rain is gone away.
Clouds have moved.
I believe that you'll make it through it.
Oh, I believe.
Ooh, it's already done.
About your
I believe it is already done. That song's got somebody's name on it. I'm claiming it for myself too. Amen. Amen. And so it is. Good morning, beloved. This is Pastor Kemp, your perpetual optimist. And I do believe, oh, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe. You must believe. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and who believe. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 and yes. This is The Bright Side. Yes, on WGXC with me right now for about 50 more minutes, 52 more minutes of music for the heart, the mind, and the soul. And we don't do that alone, but we are here with our audio engineer extraordinaire, Mr. Randall Martin, the Martin AV Services. How are you, sir?
I am well, and I'm gonna come into agreement with you on that. I believe as well, and I thought you said that this is the right side, but the bright side is the right side, isn't it?
The right side and the bright side.
All right.
Hallelujah. You know, there's a song that says, I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. But if you come up on the rough side and that ain't the right side, you just been up the rough side. You know, I'm coming up the God side of the mountain. How about that? Beloved, we are here on this wonderful, beautiful autumn Sunday morning. And it is also the fall pledge drive for WGXC. It is the Tower of Power pledge drive. And it's been going on for a few days. And you know, some folks, you've been responding, snaps and claps to you. We're so grateful for more sustaining partners, so grateful for the one-time donations and donors. Making my appeal to you this morning, my bright side listening family, if you would call in today and become a pledge support partner. You know, it's so important to be able to know how many people we can count on to help meet those monthly expenses. And because this is listener-supported radio, you know, there are no commercial interruptions, there are no corporations or other entities that dictate to us what we can and cannot do. So it's up to you to keep it that way. We're community radio for listening audiences with open ears, and we just need you to open up your pockets a little bit and send the donation, but also become a supporting partner. You can send your donations in to Wave Farm at 5662 Route 23, Acre, New York, 12405. Yes, you can. You can also call in a pledge today at 518-697-7400. Or you can go to WGXC.org/donate and make your wishes known. Our average donation for our listening supporters is $15 a month. Oh my God. Hallelujah. I hope you're in a position that you can do that. If you can do better, that would be wonderful. If you can do less, we'd love that too. But whatever it is, we want you to do something and be a part of what we're doing here. If you're enjoying the bright side, if it's blessing you, send that check, make that call, go online and let them know I'm giving this in support of the bright side. All right, I'm doing this in support of WGXC because Pastor Kim asked me to. How about that? We have the music for your heart, your mind, and the soul. Yes, we do. That's what we do. I believe started us off this morning with Mr. Sean Macklemore. We have More Than Anything, Lamar Campbell. God provides, Miss Tamla Mann. We've got back to back Miss Tamla Mann with Hello God. The church I grew up in, that's a testimony by Miss Tasha Cobbs. And the church I grew up in song is back to back with Miss Tasha Cobbs. And then I'll be back with our spiritual social commentary for today. So don't go nowhere. You stay right here on WGXC with me, where the bright side shines forth. Here we go, More Than Anything.
You are I don't know how many of you really love him today, but I love him with my whole heart, my mind and my soul, everything that is within me. I love Jesus.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice is a lie. God provides, God provides, in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. God provides. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you feel that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? Tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. tonight. Close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Woo! Watch God provide. Hallelujah!
So let me testify. I was born in Haiti. My daddy was a minister. He believed in having churches in the hood, you know what I mean? He brought us to Newark, New Jersey after Brooklyn, 1108 South Orange Avenue. Let me take you back to what gospel, Caribbean vibes felt like in that church.
Hello, God. Hello. Hello, God. Hello. Hello, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got another testimony.
Hello,
talk to me.
I feel you in the darkness of the night, and in the valley you're right by my side. And though I think it's strange, each time I run from pain, when that's the tool you use to make me right, so I say,
holy, 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 take your shoes off. This ground is holy,
so I say,
holy, 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 holy. Take your shoes off.
Whatever comes my way, it's
hello, God, hello, hello, God, hello, hello, God, hello.
When I see a brand new day, it's
hello, God, hello,
hello,
hello, God, hello, hello, God.
Lord, I'm calling and I can't seem to get through. Yeah,
so
Father, feel my soul.
Come down,
cause the world turned cold.
Fall down
on your knees and pray. Lord, we humble ourselves and say,
holy, holy,
yeah,
holy, holy, holy,
holy.
Take your shoes off. This ground is holy.
Years old, my father was called to lead a ministry to start a church, and we started in a little small town. It probably was, how many people live in Scriven? Maybe 450, 450, not 450,000, 450 people. Okay. And there was this building. We were in an organization, and they gave him this building that when we pulled up, my mother's kind of petty, y'all. She was pretty much like, oh, yeah, they can tear this down. Yeah, this is, we need to go back to Jessup. But my father, he looked at this dilapidated building. It didn't have bathrooms. It didn't have offices, no windows. He looked at it and he saw a promise. He saw a vision. And I remember coming home every day from school. They would reroute us coming home from school and send people to come pick us up from school and drive us over to Scriven for months. For months we would do this. And we would do our schoolwork. My father was a carpenter and we would do our schoolwork as they would build this church from nothing, making it into a sanctuary. And I remember him building the doors, installing windows and creating a bathroom, creating a fellowship hall. The sanctuary is at about 50 people, maybe. And I remember him, some days we would come in from school and my father had, like he would wear like robes or blankets over his head and he would be laying in the floor, praying in the floor with a robe, a cloak. He would be clothed over his head, praying for the power of God to meet his people. We started with seven adults and seven children. And I remember us being in Bible study and people would be delivered and set free. We would come in and we have moments of prayer with seven people. That God, would you create something that changes lives in this room? And again, as a 10-year-old girl, I'm watching because my father, Bishop Murphy, tells us all the time that much is taught, but most is caught. And I was catching intercession. I was catching how to invoke the presence of God and how to invoke a move of God. That's the church I grew up in. And God's church is still alive today. I said God's church is still alive today. The miracles I saw then, it gave me the faith to believe in the miracles that God is doing now. God's church is still alive. This song is called The Church I Grew Up In.
Georgia, with a steeple still attached. When all the cars drive by, they don't know what they just passed. No fancy sign, one service time, and the door's always unlocked. It's the first place that I saw the hand of God. You couldn't tell me there wasn't healing in those walls. You couldn't tell me the angels didn't walk those halls. On a Wednesday night, a Sunday morning, we didn't have much, but Jesus loved it. If you want to know why I am the way I am, it's the church I grew up in. Tear stains still in the carpet, communion in the bag. And none of us were perfect, but we all tried our best. The mother's prayer still in the air of the ones who walked away. And the only thing that kept us was God's grace. You couldn't tell me that there wasn't healing in those walls. You couldn't tell me that angels didn't walk those halls. On a Wednesday night, a Sunday morning, we didn't have much, but Jesus loved it. If you wanna know why I am the way I am, it's the
know that it is. So I'll tell my kids that there's still healing in these walls. Yeah. There's angels dancing down these halls. If it's a Wednesday night or Sunday morning, we don't need much, 'cause Jesus loves it. If you wanna know where my history began, if you wanna know why I am the way I am, it's the church I grew up in. God's church is still alive today. Isn't alive today, but I know that it is, and I'll keep telling my kids that there is healing in these walls. There's angels dancing down these halls. It's a Wednesday night, a Sunday morning, you don't need much, 'cause Jesus loves it. If you wanna know where our history began, if you wanna know why we are the way we are, it's the church that we're all in.
The church that I grew up in. My goodness, how many people can say that today, that they grew up in the church? My, my, my. But I remember the churches that I used to go to as a child. I remember the older women and the older gentlemen who would teach us Sunday school classes, and they would give us scripture verses to memorize. And if we came back the following week with our verse memorized, it'd be a treat for us, or a gift, a prize of some sort. I remember how my mom did not go with us, but she'd send us. And I remember the plays that helped us to enjoy each other's company and preparation and rehearsals and practices, and then present our finished product before listening audiences of adults who would cheer us on. I remember as an adult, the church that I grew up in, where the Holy Spirit would move, the churches I've pastored, where we've seen sickness healed and addicts delivered, families restored, where we've served side by side. It didn't matter what your title was or your economic status, didn't matter what educational level you achieved. That was the church that I grew up in, the church that we present in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church that Ms. Tasha Cobbs was singing about today. The church is not dead. She's still alive. Become a more digitalized church in some instances. A lot of services happening on Zoom and online, over the internet. But then there's still little church houses where the doors are yet open. And the thing that's missing is you and I, right? The I and miss is missing. We encourage people to find a good church home and to serve and to grow and to bring and introduce your children to it. It is so important, maybe even now more than ever before. I don't know if that's true, but it feels that way, like more than ever before. I want to talk a few minutes about Halloween. I have to do it. I have to do it. I went to the Barnes & Noble bookstore in the mall in Albany earlier this past week. And as soon as I walked in the door, there was a display and it had books about tarots and tarot cards, divination, witchcraft, just tons of them, and other related subject matter. There was no books to balance that. It was just all there. And of course, you know, people with curiosity, human curiosity, well, were picking up the book and looking at it, you know, entertaining it. Some may have been skeptical, as I was, about this display and the impact or the messaging that it was trying to present. But I just felt that in my ministry, I've been speaking about it, and I wanted to take a minute just to talk about Halloween. Some people may not understand, and, you know, it talks about, in talking about this, you know, if you have children in the room, I would say, you know, you might want to excuse them if they're under a certain age. You know, some folks, they have a difficulty talking about the roots of Christmas or the roots of Easter and all the religious connections to it, with the other, you know, secular stories that we have regarding those festivals, those celebrations, those holidays, those feasts. And so if you're, you know, have that situation in your home, I invite you to, you know, let your children occupy themselves someplace else. Perhaps you might even, you know, listen to us later on the archive. But listen here, Halloween started in Ireland, the island of Britain, you know, centuries ago. It officially ended October 31st of the year, ended on October 31st when the dark winter cold would start the new year, November 1st. And it was a festival that marked the ending of the old year, the beginning of the new year. And it was also a time where some believed that the disembodied spirits of those who died throughout the preceding year would come back in search of living bodies to possess for the next year. The Celtics believed that doing so, celebrating what they called Samhain, was a time that would allow for the dead to come close to the living. All right. They believed that on the night of October 31st, evil spirits and the souls of the dead would pass through barriers and enter into the world of the living. And that when this happened, deceased and family members would be able to revisit their earthly homes. Well, we know from the Bible that that's just not the case. Jesus taught that there's a gulf fixed between the living and the dead, and that the dead cannot pass over it. Right. So there are traditions that say poo-poo to the Bible. They don't, you know, ascribe to the Bible. But those of us who do, and I'm talking about Christians or seekers for knowledge and understanding about God, the study of God, and listening to Christian theology and Christian teaching, would know that the Bible teaches us that that just is not the case, right? We can get into other manifestations of spiritual things and why some people may think that happens. Okay, but getting back to the roots and origins of Halloween, which started out as Samhain, right? And it was brought over to America by Irish immigrants back in 1800s and 1840s. The Catholic Church, in the seventh century after the death of Christ, going around to bring the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, came across these observances, these religious and spiritual traditions. And so they introduced All Saints Day, November 1st, right? They introduced All Saints Day as a way of, instead of honoring evil spirits and the souls of the dead, to recognize the saints or the hallowed ones who had lived godly lives. And so November 1st was All Hallows Day. The evening before was called Halloween or Hallows Eve, which became the modern name Halloween. But the Catholic Church was not successful in removing the pagan spiritual traditions of celebrating dead and the concerns about disembodied spirits inhabiting homes and people and stealing babies and killing animals and destroying crops. They were not able to circumvent that with All Saints Day. And so it continued, and it arrived over here in America in the 1840s. The practice of dressing up in costumes also goes back to this Celtic tradition, where they believed that To avoid being recognized by these disembodied spirits, people would wear masks when they left their homes after dark so that these disembodied spirits would mistake them for fellow spirits and would leave them alone. They also had traditions of putting bowls of food outside their homes to appease these disembodied spirits from entering their homes. The trick-or-treat tradition also originated from this European custom, and then the Catholic Church's effort in again circumventing this practice with making November 2nd All Souls Day. And in All Souls Day, the people would make cakes or soul cakes, and they would hand those out. Hallelujah. They would hand those out, and children would take them around to different, receive them, collect them at different homes. And the promise was, if you give me a soul cake, that I'll pray for the souls of your dead relatives. And then they even had traditions that tried to forecast the future. So the bobbing of the apple became part of that. If you bobbed your head in the water and were able to get the apple out, you would have luck in the coming year. The tradition of the jack-o'-lanterns also is attached to this. And so my point being, beloved, is that those who believe that celebrating Halloween, which is the second largest money-making holiday in America, all right, grossing billions of dollars, right, with the sales of candies and costumes and events and activities in a nation where 64% of the people identify as Christians, it is important for me to just have this conversation and share this information, all right? So the Bible teaches us that God has a particular opinion about the things that are associated with Halloween in that Celtic traditional way, all right? That ancient way of participating in celebrating disembodied spirits or engaging with evil spirits. God has a thing or two to say about witchcraft and divination, and that these things are displeasing and unacceptable to God. The Bible tells us in the Word of God in 1 Samuel 15 and 23, divination is considered a sin, rebellion against God, and it has consequences. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23, it says that those who practice such, they are rejected by God. All right. 2 Chronicles 33 and 6 says divination, witchcraft, seeking omens, consulting mediums and spiritists, palm readers and tarot card workers, psychics are considered evil in the eye of the Lord, arousing his anger. Luke 19 and 31 warns, do not turn to mediums and spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20 and 6 says, I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves for following them. I will cut them off from their people. In Acts chapter 8, it tells us that a sorcerer named Simon, who had great power. Bible doesn't say that there's not power that comes out of these practices or from people who practice such. Simon in the Bible was one who had great power and a great reputation. But when he heard the apostle Philip proclaim the knowledge of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, he received it. He believed, received, and was baptized and became a follower. He put away those things that he had been doing to make his life pleasing unto God. And that is what the challenge is for us today. This is, like I said, the second largest celebration holiday in America. Yet it is one that throughout the Bible, more so than some of the other things that are lifted up, is displeasing to God. I promote Hallelujah Night. Some people say Halloween, but we say Hallelujah. All right. We celebrate and have festive activities to celebrate God, to celebrate the heroes and sheroes of the faith, to celebrate how God is the God of the widow, the orphan, the oppressed, to celebrate how God is a liberator, and to celebrate that God has given us power, that we don't have to appease evil spirits. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to try to trick devils. We, amen, only have to know the power and authority God has given us. Listen, Deuteronomy 18 and chapter 10 through 14 verses says, let no one be found among you who sacrifices their sons or daughters in fire. All right, child sacrifices. People think of abortion as a child sacrifice. That is just a convolution, a misrepresentation of what he's talking about in the word of God when he says sacrificing sons and daughters in the fire and child sacrifices. A woman who has been raped is not sacrificing a child to the devil. In fact, it might be that the case that that seed is not a seed planted by God. Who are we to say? A woman who is dealing with a life and death, her life, who are we to say that that's a decision made as a sacrifice to a devil? The devil is a liar. But the Lord says, let no one be found among you who practices divination, sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, cast spells, as a medium, as a spiritist, who consults the dead. Says anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord God declares that there are consequences. Listen, beloved, I'm not saying it. I'm saying what the Bible is saying to us. When I think about how things in our society have changed since the 1980s, and looking back to, you know, when did this explosion happen? When did it become so mainstream? Back in the 1980s. Back in the 1980s, Wicca became very popular, and Americans, pagans, paganism started to get popular, and witches' balls and the practicing of Samhain started to get very popular. But a lot of the things, the crack epidemic, gun-related crime, violence, and many other ills that our society is facing also at the same time. Is that a coincidence? And that's up to you to think about. I'm just saying, we need to know God's word, and we need to know what God thinks about the things that we are saying and doing, things and traditions we are passing on to our children, things that we are receiving in our culture, embracing in our culture, and who is behind it, and why are we doing it, and what does it add to my relationship with God? If I love God, I want to do the things that God likes for me to do. Amen. And stay away from the things God doesn't like for me to do. That's my spiritual social commentary for today. This is Pastor Kim. I am your perpetual optimist. And I say hallelujah anyhow. Some say Halloween. Happy Halloween. I say happy hallelujah night. In Jesus' name, I say amen and amen. I got more music for you, beloved. Look no further. Miss Evie McKinney, come on and get into the spirit of Christ with me. Look no further than Jesus. Yes, Miss Evie McKinney in song.
For the ones who feel like they are defeated, too weak to stand back up and fight, for the ones to run and he is waiting, like a father with arms open wide. Won't you lift your eyes from the ground? Heaven is calling now. Come and see where true love is found. If you're looking for freedom, looking for breath, somebody who knows every pain that you hold and the things that you're going through. If you got a heart that's broken into pieces, if you need a healer, savior, a miracle maker, then you don't have to look no further than Jesus. are the ones who hang their heads in shame. Won't you lift your eyes from your doubt? The cross is calling now with power that can turn your life around. If you're looking for freedom, looking for a breakthrough, looking for somebody.
No further than Jesus. Look no further than Jesus. He's a miracle worker. You know, beloved, Hindus don't practice Halloween. They have feasts and celebrations for the dead, you know, but not like the Halloween. Jews, some Jews, you know, that are not Orthodox may participate, but rabbis and educators in Jewish tradition are telling people, no, we don't participate. Muslims forget about it. They think it's the worst holiday of the year. They're not even involved, right? So come on, hallelujah. Let's look to Jesus. Yes, beloved, let's look to God and live in a way that brings the blessings of God and does not attract devils and demons to our doors. That's Pastor Kim's word. Look no further than Jesus. Remember never to forget, God loves you. Only want the best for us. Trust and believe his word. October birthdays. Happy birthday to you. I hope you have a wonderful birthday and a wonderful birthday month. And the next 365 days bring you closer to the sun as you make this revolution around the sun. Early voting starts this coming weekend, I believe on the 29th. So check that out. Do your civic duty. Do your research. And make good decisions when you make your ballot cast, all right? Getting ready to get up out of here, but before I do, I just want you to know, I don't care how dark the days may be, how low the clouds may hang, the sun is still there and the sun is still shining. There is a bright side somewhere. You hang in there, don't quit in the dip. This is Pastor Ken, your perpetual optimist, and I'm out. One more song for you. It's a collaboration between Brother Travis Green and Sister Stephanie Gretzinger. Good and love. Know it, trust it, believe it. God bless you.
Your story is my fingerprint in the valley. There is confidence in the shadow.
I will be your strength. One thing's for sure, I am your Lord.